Welcome to The Follow-Up, a weekly podcast that goes in-depth into projects recently reviewed on Brand New, featuring conversations with the designers and sometimes their clients, uncovering the context, background, and design decisions behind the work.
Hi, this is Armin Witt, and welcome to episode 29 of The Follow-Up. This week, we're following up on Pacific Gold, a minority-owned and minority-operated business that makes responsibly grown, all-natural cannabis oils and products that are available for purchase at dispensaries in California and Oregon. The project, designed by Orange County, California-based Chutzpah, was posted on Brand New on March 3, 2021. You can pull it up on your browser at bit.ly/bnpodcast029, that is bit.ly/bnpodcast029, all in lowercase. This week, we're joined by Amy Hood, co-founder and principal of Chutzpah, and Jules Torres, founder of Pacific Gold. In this conversation, we hear about the role that Jules' previous successful experience in the cannabis industry played in this project, not as a way to coast through it, but to improve on it. We learned that designing for the cannabis industry is a moving target with rules changing constantly, forcing unexpected design changes. We also hear from Amy and Jules about the importance of having a good relationship, not as client and designer, but as people, with shared appreciations of many things, including shoe choices and favorite NBA team. But most importantly, they also both share that trusting each other in this process was key to arriving at a design solution everyone loved. Now, let's listen in as Briony follows up with Amy and Jules.
Over the last few years, I have been fascinated by the emergence of the cannabis industry in its legal and legitimate presentation, one that is full of personalities as varied as people are in the world. I am eager to hear more on what makes Pacific Gold stand out from the rest. Jules, Amy, welcome to The Follow-Up.
Thank you. Excited.
Thank you.
So Jules, let's get started with you. What was the inspiration behind launching Pacific Gold? And if you can even dive into the ethos of the brand and what drives you from day to day?
The inspiration came about from a transition from a medical world to kind of like, or a gray area, I would say, to a recreational stage. And I noticed that everything was hardcore, right? Like everything was just in your face. And it was a transition to a normalization, very scary. So it was a need for a cannabis product that wasn't about how high can you get, because not everyone wants to be stoned all the time. I felt like some people wanted to smoke and enjoy without having to announce it or just be part of the stigma, right? Just partake and enjoy. The ethos was just driven by like creating an inviting product that would make consumer feel more comfortable with, again, just enjoying cannabis again or for the first time. So ease you into the world.
And is there a story behind the name?
Pacific Gold, yes, there actually is. Pacific Gold came about where we were thinking about what's classic, what's timeless. And, you know, we started talking about different products like beers and whatnot. And we started thinking about how there's certain connotations in certain countries with certain brands. For example, Corona is very popular in America, but not very popular in Mexico. And so in Mexico, there's a very popular beer that I prefer, Pacifico. Started thinking about it and just popped up where it's like, oh, Pacific Gold, timeless and quality like Pacifico.
That's great. I am always interested in where naming comes from, especially when it's personal brainstorm such as this one. Amy, how did you get involved with this project?
It's funny. I was thinking back. I was trying to remember back how we got hooked up, Jules, and it was through Justin Moore Brown. His brother, Jason, was working with you through Weed Maps, just like through some consulting. And I knew Justin back from like one of my first jobs in design, which was just doing like ad layout and magazine layout at this local magazine. And I just think it's so amazing how you really never know like how those old connections are going to come back and serve you well, because this ended up being one of my favorite projects with one of my favorite clients. And it just came from like just a random magazine job from like my first 2 years in the industry. Keep in touch with people, keep in touch with people you like and who do good work, because they'll go on to do cool things with other cool people, and hopefully they'll bring you in on it, you know?
Jules, how did you find Amy?
I have a funny story. I have a friend named John who told me about this really cool group called the Chutzpah that was doing really cool, amazing stuff, very different than everyone because everyone seems to kind of have very similar styles. And Chutzpah was doing something that was different and very unique. And I tried to reach out to them, but didn't get a response. 3 months later, I'm talking to my friend and he says, you know, why don't you get started? You have a good name. And I said, because I don't like the vibe of anyone out there. And he said, is there anyone you do like? I said, Chutzpah Design. And he said, I know them. I'll reach out to them right now. That's how I got introduced.
It was so funny because when we first met, you were like, I tried to reach out to you and you guys ignored me. And I was like, what? No. But I think you had reached out on Instagram DMs or something. And it had just gotten lost in the shuffle. Everything about the project was so cool. And I had never worked in the weed space or cannabis space. Everything about the project just felt so, oh no, this is like somebody who wants to do it right. So I was so glad that we had this random mutual connection that was like, oh no, I can make this work. Because if we hadn't done this project, Jules, it would have been so sad.
Yeah, like normally I'm not good with rejection, but this time I was very persistent and I just had to do it. If you like someone out there and you vibe with them, go at it. Just go after it.
It seems like it was meant to be just by that mutual connection. But also at the same time, if you really like something, pursue it without a doubt, be it through direct messages on Instagram or knocking on their door even one day, show up and be like, I want to work with you. How can we make this work? Let's start at the beginning. Once you coordinated, we're on the same page and you started working on this project, what did the initial work entail? And who was involved on either side as you took these first steps towards the brand itself?
For the cannabis industry, it's very highly regulated. There's no other industry that's regulated as much as the cannabis industry. And we're talking about pharma included. It's not like alcohol, tobacco, everything, anything like that. They try to compare, but it's not that way because it's such a new industry. So the government is actually learning as we go. Rules and regulations are changing every day. One day you have to put a sticker on it. The next day you have to change the size of that sticker. So it changes all of your packaging. So it starts from a legal perspective of just, can you even get a trademark for cannabis? And right now, federally, no. So you have to figure out ways around that. So it was basically a year of research and making sure that I did things right so that I didn't build something that can be torn down easily. After that, it was on a design side. I was hitting a lot of brick walls and I just noticed that everything looked like a copy of something else. That's the main reason why I wanted to go with Chutzpah, because there was a lot of originality there to it. And it was just trendsetting in a way for me, from my viewpoint. It was doing a lot of research, looking at tons of other packaging, looking at, you know, the psychology of it, a lot of research, R&D. And then from that point, it started, I think, with a conversation at a restaurant. And I was able to get a lot of guidance from Chutzpah from that point.
It was fun. It was like really collaborative because, like I said, we knew nothing. Chutzpah had never worked with a cannabis brand before. And I didn't even smoke up to that point, really. But my sister was like, she smoked a lot because it was kind of like a gray area in California at the time of legality and like people using loopholes. So anyway, I was like asking my sister a lot of questions. I was polling friends. I was doing a lot of research and I was mostly relying on like Jules and his team for just like filling me in. So they kind of gave me like, okay, like here's the heavy hitters in the industry. And then we basically just like deep dive, like, what are they doing well? And what do we not at all think they're doing well? And how can we like make a place for ourselves to stand out? And it was really fun because the first thing that we all agreed on at that first restaurant meeting was like, we don't want it to look anything like the two main design tropes that you see in cannabis, which is the neon green, like stoner bro culture, or the like very all white medicinal medical marijuana thing. So it was like, okay, how do we make something that's approachable that feels kind of like it's for everyone, kind of like the Coca-Cola, the Pacifico, you know, Topo, like anybody would want to be associated with that. It feels good. It feels trendy, but it has this like nostalgia to it, to where you feel like it's trusted and it's, you know, it's done right. And so then it was kind of like diving into the aesthetics. I mean, Jules went to USC for like business and marketing. So he also just had a lot of experience in just like starting a company. So he was very business minded about it. And we all kind of trust each other in our lanes, which is honestly so rare with clients, you know, for them to say like, I trust you at the end of the day. Like, here's my opinion. Here's my feedback. Here's what I want. I trust you to kind of like execute and help me on the visual side. He filled us in with all the business side on his end. And like he said, it was constantly changing. It was like, okay, now this rule just came out. We have to change the packaging. Now this rule came out. We had to change this wording, you know. It was fun to figure it all out while everything was so new in the industry and the space.
Jules, it sounds like you came in very strategic and slow-paced in the sense of a new company, making sure you were dotting your I's and crossing your T's and making sure everything was taken care of, every detail looked into before you went to market and developed the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I had actually developed a brand before this brand, actually three other brands in the cannabis space. So I was pretty well versed when it came to it. My claim to fame is I was kind of one of the first people doing it in 2014 from a branding perspective and a real packaging look. The first brand that I created is known as, you know, I think Rolling Stone did an article about it and said they talked about it being the most counterfeited cannabis brand in the world at that time. Also, a very well-known dispensary and a flower company. So I kind of took what I learned there and, like Amy said, what we had done wrong. And now looking at that from a point of, okay, how do you take what you've done there and transition it and put a lot of strategic thought into it? Because you want to create something like the Topo Chico's, the Coca-Cola's, something where it's classic and timeless. Because at the end of the day, really good design transcends through time. Like, it's like, hey, you kind of recognize that it's just timeless. A lot of strategic thought, a lot of planning, a lot of second guessing, a lot of analysis paralysis. But luckily, I had Amy to help me, help guide me through a lot of that stuff. That's why I think it was more of a collaborative effort. I think for me, it was more like the thinking and what I wanted to message. And for Amy, it's like her taking my words and showing me actually what I wanted to message. It was really cool.
So let me see if I get this straight. You're coming in with, I want to be this, with words, and Amy is finding the visuals to match those words and your strategy. You did not come with visuals saying, you know, I really like this, let's go ahead and go in this direction.
I did at first, and then I was kind of like, you know what? I'm not the guy. You're the person. So why don't you do it? You have to really trust the people you work with, you especially if they're designers. You have to really kind of vibe with them. I think it got to a point where I was thinking, I really like her style. I like the shoes she wears, like everything about it. So that gave me the confidence to put my baby in her hand, so to speak. So yeah, there was times where I wanted to meddle in it, but I'm like, okay, you know what? I need to step back and just let her do her thing.
It's funny because at the beginning, we always do a discovery process with clients, which, you know, most agencies do, where it's like deep dive into Jules telling us all about the company, his like vision for it. And it's funny how when you start, like you have an idea, of course, but it kind of like evolves as you start like trying things. And as you start, like I always ask my clients initially, like if there's anything that you like aesthetically, like send it to me just so I kind of have an idea. But then I usually try to like cherry pick out like the best of those and then like build out a new mood board from there. But it's, I always like to get a feel for like, okay, like what is your in your mind like nostalgic or, you know, because we both were really inspired by like vintage fruit crates and like the feel good illustrations, the feel good colors. It's like, even when you look at those today, like it looks delicious. It looks inviting. So it was kind of fun, like just getting his initial ideas and like coming back and being like, okay, we built that out. Here's kind of aesthetically what we think. And then like going from there. From there, it was just like presenting concepts. And we did like three fully fleshed out concepts. Did like really rough applications and like pretty much immediately it was like, okay, we know the favorite. Like it was one of those really, again, just really easy processes. And I think that's like one of those amazing things of, he said he liked our shoes and all that kind of stuff, but it's like, we both wear Vans. We both grew up in California. We both love the Lakers. There was just a lot of commonality to where, as dumb as it sounds, sometimes those little things of just knowing you kind of understand each other as people between clients and designers, it can just be so handy and helpful to just be like, okay, we get each other. Like we can make something, we can understand what you're going for and like visualize that.
So Jules, Amy mentioned that she presented three different concepts. Can you walk us through your reaction to the three? Did you see the one and knew? What was that process like for you?
Looking back on it, I feel like it was a setup. I feel like they presented me a couple of things, but knew what I was going to choose. So the first presentation, I think, was more of like what, like Amy said, what I like versus what I didn't like. But I think from there, what I call real presentation was about 85 to 95% of what you see today. as the meetings progressed, it made me feel more comfortable and closer, make me feel like we were about to have this hit. Or what I think, what it's like to be an artist inside a music studio where they're just working on something and it's building and it's you play it back and it just gives you that feeling. After that first meeting, it was the first initial just excitement of, wow, I really like where this is going. It's not quite there. Let me think about it a little bit more, but I'm really feeling it.
It is funny. I went back to look at our old proofs because I was like, oh yeah, what were the first proofs like? Because it's amazing how quickly you forget once everything's launched and you just know it in its current form, like fully formed. But it was so funny looking back and seeing like some of the proposed color concepts and some of the other proposed marks and things like that. And it's just like, none of that would have worked. And like, sure, design, there's like 100 right answers or even 1,000 right answers to any design problem, right? Seeing it fully formed now, it's like, no, it couldn't have gone any other way than this way.
Do you have the same feeling, Jules?
Exactly. I would sum it up to where like I had a vision in my head and this was it, but it took someone else to express it better than I could and interpret it and express it in what it came to be.
That is where the expertise comes in. Amy, if we can geek out a little bit, let's talk about the typography. You knew what vibe you wanted to go for. How did you go about your typography exploration? How did you make the choices that you make?
It was funny because like when we would talk about inspiration, it would always be so like off the wall sometimes. We'd be like, yeah, like the type on the umbrella of like the taco stand or like the fruit cart in downtown LA. Like we had all these like very specific references that like you can't find on Pinterest. It's just you have to be like in the kind of Southern California, Mexico area to like have grown up and like experienced those very like West Coast, like endless summer warm feelings. So it was really fun to be like, he would just come in and be like, oh, I saw this thing, you know, or I would be like, oh yeah, like fruit crates or, you know, like these different things. And so I gathered all these like things and I'm like Googling like, you know, fruit stands, like downtown LA fruit stands and all these things, trying to find pictures. And he's sending pictures and things like that. The type we ended up using was this font called Hebden Incised. It's crisp and clean. It doesn't have any like, you know, a lot of fonts will give you like the kind of like roughened edge to make it look aged. And we all agreed like, we don't want to roughen it initially. We want to print it embossed. It'll get that feeling on its own. The actual process will do the texture for us. Like we don't want to make anything feel like too forced, too fake, too like we're trying to make it look heritage. Just let's go through the process. Let's do the process just like any type designer or like designer back in the day would have on these items that we love now. And it'll just automatically age as it's supposed to. So we picked out this font and then I just was kind of like looking at all these different examples. There's always like some sort of like a flow that makes it kind of feel friendly. So we were like, okay, we gave it this nice little flowing arc and we kind of slightly adjusted the P and the G to kind of feel like bigger. We added a drop shadow and like an outline, just like all those extra little details that they used to do on design in like 20s, 30s, 40s. Everything was a lot more maximalist than it is now. And so just adding a lot of those little touches, you know, like the drop shadows and things like that. It turned out great. I love that font. It was perfectly used for it. But definitely my piece de resistance in the whole thing is the little rising sun marijuana leaf. Like that by far is probably my greatest achievement as a designer.
Yeah, I want to dive into the illustration as well. If you can give me more juicy tidbits on it.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's like Jules is thinking about this in the perspective of the key interaction point with users, which is in the dispensary, they're looking at the packaging. That is the design experience that has to just sing above anything else. Like, it's great if it looks good on the website. It's great if it looks good on Instagram, but like we want this packaging to just stand out. So when we were thinking about some of our favorite brands that we wanted this to feel like it lived with, like if somebody was buying stuff for a party, it's like you get the Pacifico, you get the Coca-Cola, you get, you know, like these brands. We wanted it to feel like it lived in that area, in that zone where people would want to buy these things together. Almost all of them have this. Pacifico definitely has it. Topo Chico has it. They have this like seal illustration. It's funny because if you look close at most of them, they're not that great, but they give you a feeling of summer. And I think our tagline even was that weekend feeling, that, you know, it's summertime feeling no matter where you are. We decided like we have to do like a wave crashing in on the shore, like Mexican getaway with the palm fronds and the cannabis leaves. And so that was like the more detailed seal that would be like embossed in with the gold leaf around on the packaging. And then this nice little tinier simplified logo would be the thing that was like on the pens in those smaller instances, like on the Instagram for the avatar and things like that. So we had this like bigger, more embellished mark or seal, I would call it. And then we had like the simplified like logo mark.
That makes a lot of sense. Jules, you mentioned the colors that you wanted to avoid at the beginning. Can you tell us about your reaction and overall assessment of the color palette that you went with? And how, now that you see it in retail shops and in the distilleries, how does that stand out?
This was a massive education for me because I'm red-green colorblind. I bought so many Pantone books just to be able to like tell the difference. Amy was able to kind of guide me through it. Or as Amy said, everything was like really bright gold or like, you know, neon green. It was more of a, hey, no, these are the colors. What do you think of this? And I thought, wow, like I've never thought to put those two colors together because I'm taking a technical view or standpoint from it where I'm doing research and saying, well, blue is more friendly or white is more clean. And it, how does it make you feel? But Amy was able to put things together and match things where I thought, wow, that really stands out. And sure enough, a lot of feedback from dispensaries is we love the packaging. Some people buy it just for the packaging and then fall in love with the product. So when you put it next to another product in the shop, it's not too medicinal and it's not very hardcore in your face. It's super friendly and super inviting, kind of like your favorite soft drink when you walk into your favorite store.
It's your friendly neighbor in a way, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. When we presented concepts, and we do this with all our clients, especially when it's like a consumer good, but we mocked up the logo that we had presented and we roughly mocked it up on a box because that was like the main use case. And we put it next to all the other packaging because we were like, this has to stand out and we want it to feel different. That was our whole goal going in. And you know, a lot of companies say that. They'll say, we want to be different. We want to stand out. And then by the end of it, usually by design by committee, it ends up getting watering down to exactly what's out there because that's what's been done before and that's what's safe and that's what they can see someone else has succeeded with. But for us, we stayed true to the end and I was so proud of that. Jules was like willing to be like, no, this is going to be different. So it was really fun when we presented it and we would show it next to like, you know, the main hitters in the industry. And I even took a picture of like a dispensary case and like would mock it up in the dispensary case to just show like, look how this red and yellow pops off and draws you in. I love doing that kind of comparison. It really sells it to the client that this is the right direction. And if you can't sell it within that competitor analysis, then you need to go back and like relook at it before you send it to the client. So I find it's a great gut check for me too. Like, sure, this can look good, but is it actually standing out like the main goal?
It's interesting because one of the things that was most commented on brand new was the color palette. A lot of people were saying, you know, this is a beautiful color palette. This is amazing. Totally unexpected and definitely caught everybody's eyes in that respect. You mentioned, Jules, some of the feedback that you have received. What have you heard from customers themselves?
The customer feedback is kind of what drives me and what drives this company. So the consumer feedback and the product innovation is kind of what drives me and this company. And I personally respond to most of the emails and I engage with our retail partners on Instagram. You can see a lot of comments is like hashtag we don't package the same or a hashtag we design different. Dispensaries are really proud to carry the product and it's just gotten the feedback that we expected. It's like inviting and it just takes the product to the next level. That gives us a really strong base and inspiration to create and innovate with new products. So I was able to take the inspiration as far as the color palettes and the knowledge that I got from Amy. And now with the product, I go through 5 different whites where I end up with the Blanc de Blanc from the Pantone color book. It just made everything so much better. And you can see that reflected in the feedback that you get that I see on Instagram and from the dispensaries and the bud tenders at the locations. They really fall in love with the product. They ask me for swag all the time. I have people in Argentina, people in Thailand, people in Amsterdam asking me to send them swag all the time, which I do. They reach out to us on Instagram. We do a lot of limited drops on merch and swag. It was really difficult because of the whole COVID thing to get to certain places of the world, but we try our best to get it out there. And it's like some people don't even smoke and they love it. They just love the look. They just want to wear it. They want to rep it.
That's awesome.
And y'all did so much swag. Like, you guys did like custom like Adidas slides and stuff. It was amazing. There was like umbrellas, slides, t-shirts. Bryony, they even did, you know how Armin always makes fun of people for using the mock-up of like wheat pasted posters on a wall?
Yes.
They actually wheat pasted a wall. They did not do a mock-up. They did it legit the right way. Like, they went all out when they launched. It was really cool.
Sounds like I missed an epic event or maybe series of events. Jules, I get the sense that your relationship with design and design firms was different with your prior companies, and it's going to be different from this point forward.
Yeah, I'm spoiled now. I'm definitely spoiled now. Before, I actually had a friend who I really trusted, and we could sit down over a couple of drinks and just geek out on certain things, certain vibes, certain feels. And then he went off to do other things. And now you see everyone kind of copycatting. I don't have any other words for it. Everyone kind of so used to just saying, oh, I want my thing to look like that, but change it to my colors. Now I'm definitely spoiled to where I think about it constantly. And sometimes I'll randomly text Amy and I'll say, hey, doesn't this look cool? It has nothing to do with Pacific Gold or anything, but it's my appreciation for her introducing me into a different world and it's just a different level of design and thinking and what goes behind it. So for that, I'm very appreciative.
Yeah, it was funny. You had like so much already intrinsic like design sense before even coming to the meeting. And I guess that's just because you've run companies before. You like well-made products. So you already like have a sense for like quality made, unique, things like that. But yeah, we would like geek out for like the first hour of our meetings about like Lakers and like product releases and stuff. It was so funny. Our meetings went like 4 hours longer than they should have. But I think it's great when you can find clients you actually like to work with. Work can be such a grind already and it can be so hard creating something new. There's a lot of time invested. There's a lot of just trying things that don't work before you find the thing that does work. Finding ways to just make the process enjoyable. We always did all our meetings like over like tacos or like coffee out in like Long Beach in LA and all that kind of stuff. So just like any excuse. And at the beginning, it was fun too, because we had like, you would bring in like some of your consultants sometimes too. You know, Jason would meet us out or whatever. It was such a fun process.
I'm a firm believer that good relationships actually show in the final product. You can definitely have more cohesive final product when there's good rapport between client and designer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's like a trust thing, because it's like, even when I hire people, you know, if they don't explain to me the process or if they're not taking the time to like make sure that I'm understanding what's going on and feeling included, I immediately want to grab the reins and like start to helicopter them and be like, where's this at? What's going on? Like, what's happening? You know, I try to treat my clients the way that I'd like to be treated, which is filling them in, making sure they understand like the design choices that we made and why. And, you know, Jules is like a sponge for knowledge. He was just like, you know, soaking it up. Design can feel so like, there can be such a question mark there. Everyone has their own opinions in a lot of ways. Tying it instead to like actual, like, you know, factual things of like, you know, look how much this color actually makes it more readable off the shelf. Like, tying it to things other than just, do you like this color? Not just randomly saying, what do you think about this logo? Do you like it or not? Explaining why it works and why it stands out and how this can be a win instead of just like, do we like it? Because that can be, you know, very iffy. Just because you like it doesn't mean like the demographic will like it. You know, just making sure that you are thinking about all of those like data points can make it just so much easier and make the process just feel less daunting and scary.
I think it's very important to trust your designer. I approached it from a sense of where I really like their style, so I'm going to trust them. At the end of the day, if I don't like something, I'm going to tell them why I don't like it. And then that's going to keep an open conversation and transparent relationship to where they can take that, use that, and understand where you're coming from. Instead of trying to guide a designer, I don't think from a client standpoint, you should ever try to guide a designer. If you really like their style, that's number one. Number two is trust them. All else just comes down to communication and having that open line of communication. I think you're right. I think this is definitely something special because of that.
And you did at the beginning. I remember we had one meeting like after an initial proof. And you're like, no, like, I want the seal to be like more prominent. And you were like, and I just feel strongly about this. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Like, I want to make sure that we're letting you have your input too. Like, you're paying the bill at the end of the day. Like, I want you to be happy, you know? So we did have some moments where you were like, you did give us pushback, but I think that's good. Like, it kills me when I see these designers like on social media, like they post these like subtext like videos of them talking like trash on their clients for like giving input. And I'm like, the client designer relationship is supposed to be a two-way street. Like, you know way more about your industry than I could ever hope to know. Even if I did a year-long discovery, I would never know as much as you know, because you've been doing this for 10 years. Designers who, you know, inversely don't trust their clients to also help make decisions, that kills me. I hate those videos so much. They're all over TikTok. And I just want to like write in and be like, do you realize like no one's ever going to hire you if you keep talking trash on your clients this way? Like, it's wild out there.
I am not on TikTok. I am not aware of those videos, but I can definitely picture them. So Amy, I get the sense you thoroughly enjoyed this process, but what was the most satisfying aspect of working on this project, of this whole journey?
Oh, hands down was when we got like the first proofs of the actual packaging, because the logo looks great, amazing, but it's so nebulous. And it's like, until you apply it to that main customer touch point, it can just feel like, you know, does this really exist? Are we really making any progress? So when we got that first packaging proof back from the packaging company, and we had gone all out, left it all on the dance floor with this packaging. I mean, like, Jules was like, let's make this sing. Like, it's okay if it costs a little bit more, which is so rare for a client to say. So we did the gold foil. We did the embossing. You know, we had a custom cutout in the insert that you slide out to where there was like a little sticker for swag that would like tuck in on top of the pen. There was like all these really fun little interaction points so that people just couldn't help themselves. They would have to Instagram share it. Getting that first proof back and being like, they actually executed it, if not as we imagined it, better than we imagined it. And it was just so cool. And of course, we ended up like conceding a few things. We went like all out and we kind of reined it in a little after. The end result was just so beautiful. That was probably the most exciting part for me.
And have you spotted the pictures on Instagram like you wished?
I have seen them. Jules, you would know better because people usually do it in the stories. So they are tagging you.
Yeah, we're constantly getting tagged on stories. I mean, it's pretty insane. You see people setting up their own photo shoots with our products on the beach. And I'm like, wow, like, we created something so good looking and unique that people actually take the time to take it with them and do mock photo shoots and send it to us. It's great.
So they're experiencing the product in more than one way, huh? One final question for you, Jules. Now that you have a really strong foundation, got your brand, what excites you most in terms of the brand moving forward?
What excites me most is that I have a strong foundation for packaging and design. And now I feel like I can focus on product development. I feel like I don't have to worry about adapting packaging or changing any design or any iterations. The foundation is there. I feel it's a classic. I could focus on expanding into new markets because this is a highly regulated industry. You can't just go across the US. You have to go state by state, and it's different in every state. For me, the most exciting part is taking this product in this package that I feel that the packaging is nice and so is the product. So it's a win-win, taking it to these new states, these people loving it, and for consumers to enjoy it and have a strong relationship with it for a very long time.
And I remember we talked about that. We were like, we don't want it to be too trendy. We don't want this thing to like be like a flash in the pan trendy brand, because like everybody was jumping onto the scene, starting new brands once it was legal. So he was like, I want to do the long game. Like, I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to like grow it right, grow it to where it lasts. And I think it was executed that way for sure. I'm so excited to see where it goes.
Hopefully you can go state by state to the point where Indiana will join on this adventure. I have hopes that someday we'll see more growth in that area around the Midwest in general.
Well, we're actually very close. Without releasing too much information, we'll be in Ohio and Michigan very soon. So keep an eye out. But we've been working on that for actually 3 years now.
Yeah, it takes time. I cannot thank you enough for all the insight and all the wonderful information that you shared with us. Thank you for being on the follow-up.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. And again, thank you, Amy, for helping this come to fruition.
There were so many great details and lessons in this conversation, like Amy's advice to not disc client relationships by propagating silly social media memes, or Jules advocating for clients to trust their designers. And aside from hearing about the importance of Jules' strategic approach or Amy's attention to design detail, the single most important lesson we can take from this episode is to always, always check your Instagram DMs, because you never know who will be sliding into them with a project as awesome as Pacific Gold. Today, thanks for listening. Until next time, we'll be here. We hope you'll be there.